This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1793. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded October 1st, Alaska, Andaman and Kashmir, Antarctica, Ascension, Biafra, Brazil, Canada, China, Equatorial Guinea, India, Myanmar, Norway, Oklahoma, Papua New Guinea, Spain, Tibet, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Here's a shortwave story about Alaska, which does not concern KNLS nor HARP. Mike Terry found a story in the September 24th issue of the Peninsula Clarion. EPA fines broadcaster for filling wetlands. A broadcasting company near Ninilchik has been fined $30 kilodollars by the EPA for illegally filling wetlands with gravel and dredged material. EPA issued the fine to Aurora Communications International, a Belmont, California-based nonprofit that broadcasts Christian radio programs to Russia, China, and Japan in February. The company illegally filled approximately half an acre of wetlands with dredged material, or fill, between March and July of 2012, according to the citation. It was constructing a gravel road and a foundation pad for a shortwave radio antenna tower when the filling occurred, discharging gravel, concrete, and soil, among other materials, into the wetlands. The Clean Water Act requires developers obtain a permit before discharging dredged or fill material into wetlands, which can result in the pollution of local waters. And so it goes. Well, we'd almost forgotten about Aurora Communications International, which had plans for a shortwave station, perhaps even DRM. Well, the station certainly is not on the air, not yet. The last info we had about it was 3.5 years ago, and the original project goes back to 2002. I've dredged up a number of previous items from it in the DX Listening Digest archive and put them in the next issue, number 15-39. Ninilchik is quite near KNLS on the same peninsula, just up the highway. It's always an interesting challenge to differentiate the two All India Radio stations on 4760, one in Kashmir and one in the Andaman Islands. In Shortwave Bulletin, Thomas Nielsen in Sweden says he heard Port Blair, Andaman Islands, September 13th, signing on at 2355 UT, a much better signal than in the afternoon this early in the season, and he measured it on 8 hertz above 4760. Joe's Jacob of DX India confirms that the one signing on at 2355 is Port Blair with 4 kilowatts. The other one in Leh, Kashmir, with 7 kilowatts, signs on at 0130, except in the winter at 0213. So here's the full schedule for both of them, as they overlap but are different. Port Blair, 2355 to 0300, 1030 to 1700, but Saturdays and Sundays extended to 1730. While Leh, Kashmir, is, as I said, from 0130 in the summer, 213 in the winter, until 0430, and 1130 until 1630. As for the exact frequency of Leh, Christoph Ratzer of ADX in Austria on September 26th made a screenshot showing a carrier signing on at 2345 and then slowly fading out. At 0145, a new carrier signs on exactly the same frequency, which was 11 hertz below 4760, but nothing was visible 8 hertz above 4760, the frequency measured by Thomas Nielsen, so it's a very puzzling situation. Since it's about 1 kilohertz off, a regular channel LRA 36 Antarctica is easily recognized. 15,476. However, Wolfgang Büschel pins it down to 24 hertz below 15,476. He was hearing it September 24th, rather 25th, at 18:30 UT, following tips from Karl Hunzik in Czechia, who heard it on the 23rd. And some additional logs on September 25th. Our new contributor, Wojciech Zaremba in Poland, reports a just barely audible signal at 19:21 UT on 15,476 upper sideband, as well as Manuel Mendez in Spain at 20:12. He heard Spanish with an Argentine accent until 20:34, but it was fading out after 20:25. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports that the Ascension Relay Station has made a number of changes as of September 27th. A number of relay broadcasts, which had been scheduled 7 days a week, are cut back to 6 days a week. And on Sundays, the same transmissions on the same frequencies are moved to different relay sites. No explanation of why this is happening, but maybe they needed to take down something for maintenance, so this may be only a temporary situation. In this listing, there are a couple of NHK broadcasts, but most of them affected are BBC, including a couple in English, so I'll mention those. 16 to 17 UT, 17,640 on Sunday, moves from Ascension to Wooverton, and the same happens at 16 to 17 on 17,830. More reports of the clandestine Radio Biafra via France, 15,560, between 18 and 20 UT. Marty Delphine in Spain was listening on September 23rd. Between 1805 and 1903, when there was a live English broadcast, although that would be rather late, from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, by a Biafra separatist leader hurling incendiary remarks and threats. He said, "We will go after them and kill them." Man described corrupt Nigerian police as baboons and monkeys and claimed that Nigerian society is living in a zoo. Leader says he's preaching the gospel of heaven and promised that Radio Biafra will publicly denounce Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari as a pedophile and sponsor of terrorism before he speaks at the UN General Assembly September 27th. He also charged another top Nigerian official of being an alcoholic and promised he'll be brought to justice for the murder of a Biafra leader. Quote, "Everything you hear on Radio Biafra is true," unquote. Also accused British of taking part in the genocide occurring in Biafra land. Marty says, "I haven't heard such an inflammatory rebel radio broadcast since the Sandinistas used to insult and accuse Somoza of all sorts of crimes on Radio Sandino back in the late 70s. This had a crisp signal from the transmitter in Issoudun, France. The announcer said the broadcast was live from Kuala Lumpur and gave 2 a.m. local Malaysia time checks on the air." Some other logs of this indicate continuing transmission difficulties. Rich DeAngelo in Pennsylvania on September 26th listened for 3 minutes from 1955 till it went off at 58. The tail end of a long talk in English, but only bits and pieces understood. The carrier cut during talks, so no chance for an ID. Again on September 27th from 1930 to off at 1958, with essentially nonstop talk by several people, but next to impossible to make out any of the details of the discussion. And José Ronaldo Xavier in Brazil says on September 25th, an open carrier at 1815, no modulation. At 1830, there was Radio France International modulation in French, an ID and fade out. Some more words in French at 1835. No programming of Radio Biafra till 1839. Then they started to program in English at 1840. Here's another case of separating two stations in the same country on almost the same frequency. In shortwave bulletin, Thomas Nielsen in Sweden says, thanks to CKZN Newfoundland being absent for a few days, it was possible to receive the carriers tentatively of the Brazilians around 6160. September 21st at 2105, it was Radio Boa Vontade, 50 hertz below 6160, and Radio Rio Mar, 63 hertz above 6160. The Boa Vontade sign-off was at 21:58.5, and Rio Mar went off earlier at 21:16. It was a bit stronger, but very weak audio could be heard. Brazil's Radio Bandeirantes had been inactive on its 25-meter band frequency for some time, 11925, but it had been heard as late as September 18th on 9645.3 approximately, and also by Brazilians on the 49-meter channel 6090, which clashes with Anguilla. However, we're no longer hearing it on any of those frequencies. I checked September 30th, nothing at all on 9645.3 around 0100 when the other Brazilians were coming in on 9630 and 9665. There's been an extreme amount of discussion about the absence of Bandeirantes in the Radio Escuta's DX group in Brazil. No one seems to know exactly why, however, or if it's a permanent situation, but they fear it is part of the continuing decline of shortwave broadcasting. Here is one report sent on by Daniel Williams to the HCDX list from Lenildo da Silva from his blog No Mundo do Dixismo. And I've improved a translation. Apparently, Radio Bandeirantes of São Paulo ended its shortwave transmissions, no longer captured on 9645 and 6090, 11925 suppressed for several months. Affected by a financial crisis, the São Paulo station began a wave of layoffs in its workforce in August, not even sparing established names from the sports department. The obstructive cuts, which have reached other parts of the Bandeirantes group, seems to have come now to shortwave transmissions. We hope the traditional broadcaster of journalism and sport can overcome this crisis and reoperate on shortwave soon. Oh yes, just last week I reported logging what may have turned out to be one of its last broadcasts, that quarter-hour time signal at 0545 I heard September 21st. Brazil's Rádio Aparecida, 11855 nominal, had been off frequency quite a bit to the high side, but they shifted another kilohertz further off frequency, as I noted September 24th at 2343, about 11856.3. Vortex Aremba in Poland put it on 11856.28 at 2020 UT September 25th. And it seems to have stayed that far off during the following week. 14915 is not where you would expect to hear a broadcaster, but Daniel Williams in Mato Grosso says the Brazilian pirate Rádio Cidade Oldies was there on Sunday, the 27th of September, at 2000 UT, give or take, and they were going to stay on for another 4 hours. From altradionetworks.cbc, Dan Say forwards this, and on to us via Mike Terry with a rather alarming headline, CBC to sell all property across Canada, including the major production facilities in Montreal and Toronto. This was from the Toronto Star of September 22nd. On the same day, Liberal leader Justin Trudeau pledged to reverse $115 megadollars worth of cuts to the CBC. The national broadcaster unveiled plans to sell off all its buildings. The Canadian Media Guild said CBC announced at a staff town hall it'll be selling all property across the country. Ian Morrison, spokesperson for the Friends of Canadian Broadcasting, had not yet heard about it. "It's news to me," he said. "The broadcaster's decision to sell real estate assets was akin to burning the furniture to heat the home. Not only will this saddle CBC with the need to pay rent forever, but the timing could not be worse. This is a period when a government only makes caretaker decisions. It's widely understood during a general election you don't do controversial things." Details such as a time frame for the sale were not available. And there was another story Liberals Promise to Restore CBC and Arts Funding by Lynn Desjardins from RCINet via Craig Seeger in Australian DX News. The Liberal Party is promising $380 mega-dollars in funding for the arts and, if it is elected, to form Canada's next government on October 19th. Leader Justin Trudeau also says he would reverse the $115 mega-dollar annual cut in funding that the previous Conservative government made to the national broadcaster CBC Radio-Canada. He would also add on $35 mega-dollars per year. While nothing is mentioned in reference to this about RCI, she adds years of funding cuts prompted CBC to dramatically cut the budget of RCI. As a result, in 2012, it was obliged to close its newsroom, stop shortwave service, dismantle transmitters, and limit itself to internet only in five languages. You're tuned for World of Radio 1793. You can read much more about everything we mentioned in the subsequent issue of DX Listening Digest, when published via our website, worldofradio.com. Look for issue number 15-39. Our thanks this week for financial support from Robert W. Gruska in Glendale, New York, who sent a money order to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Reporting to IRCA and ABDX, Tim Trump in West Michigan heard a Canadian station on 1710 kilohertz, at first a mystery with religious talk and Christian pop music, but it turned out to be CHIM-FM being relayed out of Timmins, Ontario. It was still going at 0500 UT on September 27th. He later found out it was running 35 watts and might even go up to 50 watts, so the legality of this is quite murky. Kevin Redding in Tennessee, however, says he also managed to hear it. On 6200, September 27th, I was hearing a Chinese station around 13 UT, which would have been Voice of Jinling from Nanjing. Ron Howard reminds us that it has a peculiar double sign-on around 1240 UT. That is, they start up, cut off the carrier, and then start up again to stay. They seem to do this every day. However, a couple of days later, he and I lament that PBS Zhejiang in Tibet reactivated the same frequency, 6200. Here are a couple more logs of the elusively reactivated Radio Nacional de Guinea Equatorial, although he refers to them as Radio Diffusion de Guinea Equatorial, both by Mauro Giroletti in Italy, bclnews.it. The frequency was 5004.9, September 22nd at 0425. There was music, but no ID heard. However, on September 24th at 1930, he not only heard music, but also an ID, with a SINPO of straight threes at that time, almost as good in the morning. Via Alokesh Gupta, DX India, a reminder of an annual special broadcast from All India Radio. It's a two-hour transmission consisting of Sanskrit recitation and music, orated by the late Sri Birendra Krishna Bhadra. AIR has been broadcasting the program since the early 1930s. It's called Mahalaya. The schedule this year is starting UT Sunday, October 11th at 22:25 until midnight 15 UT on Monday, October 12th. Last year, this was heard on several of the 60-meter band frequencies, 9425 and 9470, and many medium wave frequencies from India. However, the sign-on time could vary as much as 30 minutes later, according to Joe's Jacob. Ron Howard in California reports Tazin Radio Myanmar on 9590, September 30th, from 1211 until off at 1328. They were in vernacular, playing many different styles of music, usual indigenous theme music at sign-off. He says, it's wonderful now to be able to hear this in the clear with no interference from Tibet on the frequency, which is off the air. From Sven Martin on the WRTH Facebook group via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, an official announcement of broadcast from Norway's LLE2 on 5895 USB, Bergen Broadcasting, scheduled daily at 06 to 08 and 13 to 15 UT. Furthermore, all night into Saturday and Sunday, using 50 watts and an inverted V antenna. I observe that UT Sunday should be the best chance for North Americans, as the BS from WWCR4 does not sign on 5890 until 0400 that night only. But I must wonder if they have any real programming. Nick Rank in the British CS Club did manage to hear it September 27th at 0657 with an IDN Morse and an announcement. This is a test transmission from Bergen Broadcasting Station. Via Dennis Gibson, ABDX, a story from wirelessestimator.com. American tower topples an Oklahoma tower while its sole tenant was broadcasting. This was KGUY 91.5 in Guymon, Oklahoma, which is a full-time low-power relay of High Plains Public Radio from Garden City, Kansas. As a matter of fact, a station I had heard just a few days before, passing through Guymon. This came as a surprise to High Plains Public Radio itself. American Tower Corporation had called somebody a few days before, taking the tower down for safety reasons. Listeners were first to inform HPPR that they were no longer hearing the classical music. They were treated to deafening silence after a tower crew hired by American Tower Corporation cut it down without notifying them, perhaps timed perfectly for it to pancake upon the earth at the end of Siegfried's funeral march, blasting from their crew cab. HPPR director Dale Bolton said he'd previously noticed the tower appeared to be crooked and stood at an odd angle, possibly a problem with the guy wires. Ron Howard in California says some NBC stations in Papua New Guinea are on the air erratically. 3275 Southern Highlands and 3365 Milne Bay. Both were off the air September 26th at 1232 and later. However, the next day, September 27th, 3365 was back on the air, the other one was not. B-15 schedules are starting to emerge. Plans for the winter season effective October 25th. For example, from Radio Exterior de España via Pedro Sedano of the AER. They've had four frequencies running, of course, for 4 hours a day on weekdays, double to 8 hours on weekends, including one aimed at North America, 17855, which has served us quite well during the A season. But they're going down to 9690 in B-15, which seems to me just too low even in the winter for a mostly daylight path from Europe to North America. The times, of course, will shift a bit to 19 to 23 UT, starting at 15 on weekends. In fact, we might have better luck with the higher frequencies, even though they're aimed at other targets. 11530, 15390, and 15500. Except the Africa beam will start out at 15 UT on weekends on 17755, and then move to 11530 at 19. Thanks to Juan Franco Crespo for sending that on to us. I ran across a Navy Mars net, a bit too close for comfort to WWV, 5004.5 USB, September 29th at 1302. It sounded if there was an imminent demise of Navy Mars from what the guys were saying. They mused about joining Air Force or Army Mars instead, or setting up their own hamnet so the individuals could remain in contact. The net control NNN Zero Yankee Golf Whiskey said, dedicated to Navy Mars until it drops under the water. I wonder if that had something to do with the imminent end of the U.S. government fiscal year as of September 30th. Maybe someone in Navy Mars can fill us in on what's happening. On his worldwide show, UT September 26th at 0117, Alan Weiner on WBCQ 7490 and 5109.7, compatible USB, said he got a terrible electric shock the week before. He was working on a backup transmitter and was pushing on a capacitor he thought had been discharged, but was hit by 4 kilovolts of DC. At that time, he said it was still painful. Let's hope he's okay by now. What do you know? WRNO has made a comeback after more than 6 months off the air. It was last reported by Ron Howard on March 22nd, but as I made my usual band scan around 0130 UT September 30th, there it was, this time on the low side of 7505 instead of the high side, measured about 7504.65, and it sounded like the same primary preacher we had been hearing before, with a slightly strange accent. I assume the schedule would again be only between 01 and 04 UT. And I just checked, it's still there 24 hours later. I find it quite fascinating to keep tuning the AM band in the daytime for unusual catches, which can happen. September 29th, around 1930 to 20 UT, on 880 kHz, I was hearing not only the usual KRVN, Lexington, Nebraska, but a weaker signal also in English underneath it. Although I could not get a definite ID, I think it must have been KJOZ, Conroe, Texas, serving the Houston market. It's now in English as progressive talk rather than Spanish religion. The change occurred in mid-April. Ron Howard in California has been monitoring Radio Vanuatu almost every morning on 3945. September 25th at 1404 to 1434, it was surprisingly well heard, with the usual long musical loop, non-stop music and never any announcements. This was after the weekday sign-off of RN2 Japan. By far, the most frequently played song is You Are the Only One by the group Black Brothers, who in 1979 came to Vanuatu to live in self-imposed exile in protest against Indonesian government policies and human rights violations. They were originally from West Papua. You Are the Only One was played at 1417 and 1431. However, he was listening again on September 27th when You Are the Only One appeared at 1152, 1208, 1221, 1240, 1321, and 1341. Furthermore, Paul Walker says, according to their chief engineer, Radio Vanuatu runs only one sesquikilowatt on both frequencies. The propagation outlook from Boulder, major storms no longer expected. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4 on October 1st and 4th, 18 and 4 on the 8th, but never as low as 5 and 2. Solar fluctuating between 115 and 110 until up to 130 October 16th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1793.